If you got your Bibles with you today, I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 41. I believe God's got an amazing word for us this morning. Chapter 1 is kind of like the grand finale. Okay? This is the part where we see God making connections in the life of Joseph that in the beginning we could not tell that God was at work. We could, because we've gone through the whole thing. But in the beginning, you kind of might wonder, what could God be up to when Joseph was in the pit? What could God be up to when he was put in prison and accused of something that he never did? What could God be up to when he spent those extra years in prison? But believe me, God was up to something real good. God was making the connection between a dream with a destiny. God was making a connection between his plan and his purpose for Joseph. God is always at work. Whether we're in a pit or in a prison or in a palace, God is always working. He's connecting dots. He's playing a game of chess. And he's got like 10 different moves on us. That is how amazing our God is. So today in chapter 41, we're going to approach this from a narrative style. Kind of like a storytelling thing, okay? So it's going to be very narrative and participation is good. Okay, that will get us out of this place real quickly. So I encourage you to participate as we go along, okay? So in verse 1 of chapter 41, it says this. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. Yeah, we see dream again. See, God gives dreams to certain people. And they are meaningful in many ways. And God, at a certain point in time, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. 2 full years. In Hebrew, if you read that text in Hebrew, the original language would actually say 2 years of days. 2 years of days. Now, this is the emphasis on how long it was. 2 years of days, like 24 months, right? 730 days. 17,520 hours. God is emphasizing the length of time that Joseph spent in prison. But then there's that part there. It came to pass. It came to pass. For Joseph, it means that time is passing by. Time is passing by. Joseph is getting older. He's getting weaker. He's feeling abandoned. He's feeling rejected. All familiar feelings that he's had before. He's been abandoned and rejected by his own family. He's watching others serve their time in prison and then walk away from prison while he's continuing to serve a life sentence. Time is passing by. Time is passing by and he's being dragged further and further away from the calling. Time is passing by and he's being dragged further and further away from his purpose. Maybe that might be a feeling that you have right now. Where you feel like time is passing you by. Time is ticking away. And you're watching people around you get promoted. You're watching people around you get blessed. You're watching people around you getting transferred from Kodiak to Hawaii. Living the dream and here you are stuck. Time is passing you by. Well, let me reassure you one thing. Time is not passing by God. Time is not passing by God because our God lives outside of the concept of time. God does not measure time the same way that you and I, we measure time. The only way we know how to measure time is in chronos. The ticking of a clock. The flipping of the pages of a calendar. That's the only way we know how to measure time. God doesn't measure time the same way as we measure time. He measures time in kairos. Kairos means an appointed time. Such as the dedication of a child, it is an appointed time. Such as your birth, it's an appointed time. Such as the time when you receive Christ, it is an appointed time. It is a time that God set aside to do the miraculous in your life. This is where God comes in and intervenes in the chronos. He stops time to do something that you cannot do in the natural. It's a kairos. It's a time frame that God puts into motion in your life. And nothing can stop that kairos time. That God appointed time. Whether it is your calling, whether it is your purpose, whether it is that promotion that you've been expecting and believing God for, guess what? God's got an appointed time for it. Here's what the Word of God says in Ecclesiastes 3:1. It says, there is an appointed time for everything. A time for every affair under the heavens. In other words, every move you make, every step you take. That sounds like a song. Lord Jesus, help me. Didn't mean to go there, Jesse. I thought I was going to keep going there for a minute. God has an appointed time for everything. God has an appointed time on his timetable. And guess what? He's not sharing this timetable with us. For a good reason, by the way. It's a good reason that God doesn't share his timetable with us. Number one, we will never be able to understand it. We won't get it. We won't get it why God puts us here in Kodiak, Alaska in this time. We won't get it. We won't get it. And number two, if God shared his timetable with us, guess what we will be tempted to do? Manipulate that time. Manipulate the circumstances around that time. We will try to get ahead of God. Believe me, we will. I know you're like, oh, no, not me. I've been born again for 50 years. Not me. Believe me, you will. You will if you knew exactly what was ahead of you. And you had the foreknowledge of what was going on, and God shared his timetable with you, guess what you would be tempted to do? Let me get to know this person, because this person has a way in towards that promotion. If I befriend that person, I find them on Facebook, on Instagram, on anywhere that I can think of, I become their friend, I can set myself up for that promotion. That would be manipulating the time frame of God. God has got a set time for things to be released in our life. Released too soon, it destroys us. If a promotion comes too soon, it will actually destroy you. There was a reason why God protected Joseph from the palace for those 2 years. Can you imagine? Last week we talked about this. The vile environment of Egypt. God was protecting him by keeping him there. So that he can be protected for the calling, for the purpose. God is seeing 2-3 generations beyond just Joseph. God is way ahead of us. And he does not want us to be tempted to change or manipulate the circumstances around us so that we can get ahead. There's a time for everything, and certainly was true for Joseph. God had an appointed time for him to be picked up by those Ishmaelite slave traders. It was an appointed time. It was an appointed time for him to serve for 10 years in the house of Potiphar. It was an appointed time for him to be in prison so that he can meet this chief butler. There was an appointed time for all of that. There was even an appointed time for Pharaoh to have his dreams. That dream, if that dream came too soon, it would not have been right time for Joseph. It would not have been the right time for him to get out of prison. God releases the right thing, the right blessing at the right time in your life. So you don't have to convince God that you need it yesterday. God has a time on everything. It's on his time. That's his Kairos time, his appointed time. In verse 1, it says, then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Now Pharaoh had two dreams. The first one was about 7 ugly, gaunt cows who ate 7 fine-looking fat cows. I'm quoting the New King James Version here. So, by the way, that's a great compliment for cows only. Fine, fat cows. Don't be trying that on anybody. That will not go well. It won't be a compliment. The second dream was about 7 thin heads of grain who ate 7 plump head of grains. In verse 7, it says, so Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. I don't know about you, but I would be waking up in a cold sweat if that was the dream that I've been having. I mean, that is a nightmare right now. Cows eating cows. I mean, seriously. Now it came to pass in the morning, an appointed time, that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all his magicians of Egypt and his wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret those dreams for Pharaoh. Now, the dreams God gave to Pharaoh, not only did those dreams have an appointed time, but they also had an assignment. It was not just an appointed time for the dream to be released, but there was also an assignment. And this assignment was not meant for the magicians of Egypt. Yeah. They couldn't do it because that was not their assignment. God could have chosen them, but God chose somebody else. It was not meant for the magicians of Egypt. It was not meant for the wise men of Egypt. This assignment was set aside. See, this is an appointed time, an appointed task, an appointed assignment that was set aside for no one but Joseph, an ordinary Hebrew slave. He was the one that God set aside this assignment. Only him could accomplish and finish this task, this assignment. I believe the same is true for you. God has an assignment for you that no one else can do but you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has an assignment that is just for you, that no one else can do but you? Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. I'm talking about you guys. I'm talking about me. God has got an assignment that is just for me, that no one else can do but me. I mean, that's not haughty. It's just the way it is. God had an assignment for Joseph that no one else could do. Not the magicians, not the wise men, but only him. And God was protecting him the whole entire time for that specific day. We're talking about such a time as this. That was one of those occasions. Such a time as this, God set him aside to be able to understand the assignment that was set aside for him from generations prior to that. We have no clue. The word doesn't really give us any details about what God had in plan from way back when. With Abraham, God was already thinking about Joseph. This is the way that God works. Could it be that God has an assignment for you right in the place where you are? Right in the place where you are challenged. Right in the place that perhaps you don't even like. You don't like being here. But yet again, God has got an assignment for you right here in the place where you're challenged, in the place that rubs you the wrong way, because this is not where you want to be. But yet again, God's got an assignment for you because you are here. Just because you are alive and you are here, God has got an assignment for you. An assignment that no one else can do but you. And the only way you can finish this assignment is this. I've been preaching about this through the life of Joseph. And here's the thread that connects the whole thing together. It's serving and being planted in the place where God has called you. Amen. That's the only way that you can make that connection. That's the only way that you can know what the assignment is. You go anywhere else, you will miss the assignment. You will miss the task. The task that God has for me as the pastor of Oceans United can only be accomplished in Oceans United. I can't just say, you know what, is there something better out there? Is there a better promotion somewhere else? Sometimes we think like that in this natural mindset. Could there be a better opportunity somewhere else? But guess what? There is no better opportunity somewhere else. It's always in the place where you are. No matter how challenging it might be, no matter how difficult the situation might be, there's always something that God is trying to get to you. There's always something that He wants to impart in you. Amen. A lot of times we miss that. A lot of times we say, you know what, I just want to check out early. I just want to check out early. I just want to move on to that next assignment. In verse 9, it says, then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. I remember my mistake. I remember that I've missed something. He's missed his assignment. I have missed something. Even the chief butler had an assignment, and his assignment was just to remember Joseph. That was his assignment. And guess what? When he was elevated back to his position in the palace serving Pharaoh, he forgot about Joseph. But really, when we think about this, since we're talking about appointed time, I really can't fault him for forgetting Joseph. I believe he remembered Joseph at just the right time. I believe it was all appointed by God. Just the right time, he remembered Joseph. He remembered his assignment. And in verse 12, the chief butler tells Pharaoh about Joseph. It says this in verse 12. It says, now there was a young Hebrew man with us in prison. Right? There, meaning in prison. A servant of the captain of the guard. Who's that? Potiphar, a servant, a captain of the guard for Pharaoh. And he told him, Joseph, that he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass. Here's that word again, that phrase. And it came to pass, an appointed time. Just as it interpreted us, so it happened. He restored me to my office and hanged him, the other guy. Here we can see the pieces of the puzzle joining in. Joining in. And you start seeing a bigger picture of where God is taking Joseph. An appointed time. It could, that picture could not have been more perfect if it was 2 years earlier. See, there's several characters that we know in this story. The chief butler, there's Pharaoh, there's Joseph, there's Potiphar. All of them had to be in sync with God's plan in order for this scenario to develop right now that we're just now reading. It could not have happened if the dream was wrong in the prison. The wrong guy got elevated and the wrong guy got his head chopped off. It was all in God's timing. The guy right there remembered right at the right time. The puzzle of God's big picture is now being unfolded in front of our very own eyes as we read the scripture. The same is true for you. God has an appointed time for the puzzle pieces of your life to come together. He's got an appointed time for those pieces to make sense. Right now, it probably doesn't even make sense at all because you don't know when your next assignment is going to be. You don't know where you're going to go after Kodiak if you're in the Coast Guard. You have no idea. But God is putting the pieces together. Here's the key. Don't get ahead of God. Don't get ahead of God because we are tempted so strongly to get ahead of God because we caught a little glimpse. We got a word and I like we're going to act on this word right now. I'm going to make it happen. You know, we do this sometime. We find a way to justify what we want to do. We find some Christian word that would make sense to our natural mind. We find a scripture that somehow would line up with what we are believing, even if it is not God's will. We make it together. We put the pieces of the puzzle together and we act on it because we want to get ahead of God. Here's the challenge is to wait, to stop and wait. Wait upon the Lord. That doesn't mean you just sit back and say, you know what, whatever will be, will be. No, it means that you serve God. You keep going the way that wherever God has planted you, you keep serving. You don't stop. That's waiting upon God. Waiting upon this appointed time that God has set aside for you. Don't try to figure out your next move without God. Leave Him in the equation. He's the key. He's the only constant. He's the only source of peace. If you take Him out, you take out the peace. You take Him out, you take out the direction. You take out His presence. You take out His spirit. You leave Him out, you leave Him. You might as well just, Jesus, take me home. Take me home. There's no point. There's no point. You cannot leave God out of the equation. And you cannot get ahead of Him. In verse 14 it says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. They brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved and changed his clothing and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream. See, here's the connection with a dream. I've had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it for me. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Joseph immediately points to God. See, he passed that character test in the prison. He could have said, you know what, hey, look at me. Remember? I'm the one who gave that interpretation of that dream and the chief butler got out. Yeah, I'm qualified. I've got a gift. Let me show you my gift, Pharaoh. He didn't have to say any of that. He points to God, not himself. But what Joseph did here is very bold. Did a little bit of research on this, how bold it was. Because in Egypt, Pharaoh is considered a god. Right? Pharaoh is considered a god. And Joseph was saying this. Hey, Pharaoh. My God is bigger than you. My God is greater than you. And that in itself, in ancient Egypt, it's a crime that is punishable by death. No one can stand in front of Pharaoh and actually say, I'm greater than you. Because he's the ruler of the land. There is no one greater than Pharaoh. And he's standing there. He's actually saying this. My God is greater. Greater than you. Joseph was risking his own life in order to give glory to God. Risking his own life. He was not even fearful of him going back to that prison. He said, "Yo, I'm going to stand up for God. I'm going to give him the glory." Sometimes God might put us in a place, in a position, when you have to speak out, where you have to stand up when everybody else is choosing to sit down. Where you have to speak out your own faith, your own conviction, whatever you believe in, you got to stand up and actually say, nope, not me, not in my house. That's not the way it goes in my belief. That's not the way that I was raised. I believe in the word of God. Sometimes we are put in a position where we have to do that. We have to stand up for what is right. And that could mean that we are losing our job. That could mean that, hey, you know what? We're going to spend some time in prison. Going back to this pit that we just came out of. Guess what? I'm going back there. I would rather go back to the pit that renounce my faith. That renounce who I serve. So right there, Joseph was put in a position where he had to speak up. He had to give God the glory and not himself. He had to actually bring down Pharaoh. That's what he did. Right there, Joseph introduced Pharaoh to the Jehovah Shalom that you and I, we know. That's where we get this, the key to this verse right there that we read. It says, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Genesis 41:16. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Did you know that? In Egypt, they had a God of peace. They had a God of peace. His name is Shu. I was reading this. I'm like, some reason it was making me laugh. S-H-U, Shu. Shu means empty. Talking about a God of peace who's empty, void, like a black hole. Nothing, nada, nada. A place or someone that doesn't produce anything. That was the God of peace. And he is saying, my God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. He's saying, my God will produce peace and not emptiness. I believe that was it for Pharaoh. A God that can produce peace and not give me something that is empty. I'm sold. This is it. That's the answer I've been looking for. And then Joseph said this to Pharaoh. He says, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Here we see God revealing his glory to an unbeliever. God is revealing his glory to an unbeliever, and he's about to reveal his entire glory to an entire unbelieving nation, where they can say that Jehovah is the only true God. There is no other God besides Jehovah. And in verse 29 it says, indeed 7 years of great plenty will come through all the land of Egypt. But after them 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine will deplete the land, so the plenty will be known, will be not known in the land, because the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because this thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. An appointed time. When God brings something to pass, it's always an appointed time. So whenever God repeats something, whenever God says something twice to you, you better pay attention. Because what he's saying right there, when he says something twice, it is established. Meaning nothing, absolutely nothing can change it. Absolutely nothing can change what God has already set into motion, because it was an appointed time, an appointed assignment, and someone that was handpicked by God himself. So everything was put together right there this moment by God. It means that the assignment, the problem, whatever it might be, whether you like it or not, it's coming. It's coming. Whether you like it or not, it's coming. If God gives you an assignment, or if you call it a problem that he wants you to fix, I can guarantee you one thing. God will also give you the solution to the assignment. God will give you the solution to the problem. When he appoints you, he will also equip you. See, right there, God was appointing Joseph, placing him in front of Pharaoh to solve a problem that no one else can solve. But right there, with this appointment, also came the equipment for Joseph to be able to come up with a wisdom from God to be able to solve a problem that no one else can solve. I'm going to take you back to my story. I promise you I'm going to give you a little bit more bits and pieces of that story. I can't share the whole thing with you. But back in Muskogee, Oklahoma, when that promotion came, that assignment that I had, remember I said it came with a $12 million problem? It came with that. That problem had the potential to bury me, to destroy me. completely. But I knew that God appointed me. And when God appoints you, He equips you. He equips you to do it. You don't have to worry about it. I had no idea at the time when I was appointed. I had no experience, no talent, no gift. But the only thing that kept me going was this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That became my flag scripture. Everywhere I went, every meeting that I stepped foot into, no matter how challenging it might be, I walked in. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who gives me the wisdom that I need to accomplish the task that is set before me. The assignment is not going to bring me down because God has appointed me. God has equipped me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the way that Joseph approached the problem. He knew it was not in him. It was in God. So the whole story about Muskogee, Oklahoma, ended up like this. It took 4 years to solve the problem. See, sometimes we want to hurry up and fix it so that we can move on to the next assignment. Because guess what? I wanted to move on at that time. I mean, it was like, why do I do this? Why do I do this to me, to my family? At that time, it was just Dawn and I. You know, like, what am I doing? What am I doing there in Muskogee? I would be better off in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I have to drive 1 hour every day, one way, 1 hour every day, the other way, to do this for 4 years. I am done with this. And I remember the conversation that I had with God. Would you just let me in a little bit of your plan? Would you just show me so I can figure out? Because guess what? I was trying to manipulate the circumstances so that I can get out. It was not time. It was not the appointed time for me to bail out. So God kept me there for 4 years. I stayed there in total of 5 years in that place. And I felt that place was hell. I mean, seriously. There is no other words that I can describe this place. It was hell. Every time I was like, okay, Lord, just get me out. I was looking at opportunities somewhere else. And everywhere that I applied, everything was, I'm being turned down. And I'm like, what is happening there? I mean, OU was the palace. That's where I wanted to be. But the palace was shut. It was not the appointed time. I've applied and I've been requested an interview. I even made phone calls. You know, you don't do that when you apply for a job. You don't call up your employer. Hey, did you get my application? Did you get that? Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Do you want me to mail it to you? Did you get the email? Oh, let me mail it. I was trying to figure out how to get in. The more I tried to figure out how to get in, the peace of God was gone. I was trying to do it, not in Christ's strength, but in my strength. And God was saying, no, you're not ready. You're not ready. You're not ready. You stay put until I tell you you're ready. Where am I? Verse 33. He says, now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man. See, this is the solution that came from God. Let Pharaoh select. See, even then, Joseph is giving honor to Pharaoh. He's not putting him down like, hey, you know, my God is bigger than yours. My God is bigger than you. And guess what? You don't know anything. Let me tell you how we're going to do this. He says here, let Pharaoh, honoring him, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of all good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh. and let them keep food in the cities, then that food shall be a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the time of famine. God was making provision for the hard times. Don't think that your hard times that you're going through right now, God is totally oblivious to this. God knows that He's preparing you for a time of lack that might be coming. God is preparing you for something that you cannot see right now. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servant, Can we find such one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Even Pharaoh at that point could recognize the Spirit of the true God, the God of the true peace in Joseph. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you." Pharaoh recognized God in the life of Joseph. That day, that was the appointed day, the appointed time for Joseph to be promoted to second in command after Pharaoh. It could not have happened any sooner. It was God's appointed time. So as we get ready to close, I know the Bible does not give us any details about the emotional state of Joseph right after he was appointed. We don't know much about it. It doesn't really tell us. But God had this appointed time for Joseph to be promoted. But here's my take on it. I believe Joseph went back to his room and he cried out to God. I believe right there at this appointed time he's finally realizing and understanding the purpose of his own dreams. His own dreams that started back in Canaan at the age of 17. So for those 13 years that he waited, because the word in chapter 41 there says Joseph was 30 years old when he stood in front of Pharaoh. So for those 13 years, the gift of understanding dreams was in him. He was able to understand and speak on the dreams of others, but he could not understand and make sense of his own dreams. Isn't that crazy when you think about it? I mean, what could be happening in Joseph when he was promoted, when he finally got this glimpse of, oh, now I know. Do you have this moment sometime after you've passed, you've moved on in your journey, and then you look back, you're like, now I know. I know why God allowed me to go through this. I did not see it at that time when I was there struggling. I did not see it. But now I know. Now I understand the journey. It was hard. It was confusing. But now I understand. After the fifth year, after I was done, God closed that chapter in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Finally, I was out. I graduated. 5 years of being in there, in this place that I really call hell. I mean, we had lawsuits and some of these things. I believe there's still a gag order on some certain things, so I can't really tell you much about what happened. But I got called for an interview at Oral Roberts University. It was a big panel interview. We had the vice presidents of several departments. They were there. And I remember I'm dressed up, you know, really nice. I'm coming in. I'm ready for this interview. I walked in and I'm sitting down and I'm sweating. You know, I'm like nervous. And they could tell that I was very nervous. So they had papers and all kinds of stuff in front. I'm like, man, what's going to happen? You know, what kind of question they're going to be asking me? I'm finally there. I'm in the palace. And I don't even know how to act. So I sat down and they say, hey, Shannon, tell us about your journey. How did you get here? And guess what my response was? I drove. I drove. I drove. That's not what they were asking. They were asking me about the journey. They were asking me about my time in prison. They were asking me about the time when I was abandoned, when I was rejected. They were asking me about the journey that led to that place. It was not just a drive. It was a journey. And guess what? All the vice president, they busted out laughing. Would you please stand? Sometimes it does not make sense. We don't have the right answers. We open up our mouth and, like the word says, we put our foot in it. But guess what? God does not care. We all make mistakes. We don't always get it right. We don't know the details of what happened, but Joseph never got it right from get-go. Every time he opened up his mouth, he said the wrong thing. But God doesn't care. When God has got an appointment, an assignment for you that no one else can do but you, God will put you in the right place at the right time. You don't have to manipulate situation. You don't even have to state your claim to whatever the promise might be. It is yours. It was always yours to go to start with. You don't have to fight. You just have to walk in His grace. I know you all, some of you are going through stuff. I understand that. It's called life. It happens. We all go through different difficult seasons in our life. But I'm going to reassure you that God is with you. He said in His word that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to surrender to Him. And walk in His grace, in His faithfulness. He's a faithful God. Even when you mess up, He's faithful. Let's pray. And after this, we're going to open up. We're going to have an altar. For any of you who might have prayer, a need, something, whatever's going on in your life, nothing is too small for God. Whatever it might be. I believe God's going to answer prayers right now. That calling that you've had for a while and you couldn't see the connection, I believe God's going to make that happen. You're going to start seeing the connection between the calling and the purpose. All God wants you to do is to chase Him and not the calling. He wants you to chase Him and not the destiny, not the purpose. I look around this room, I see a whole bunch of God chasers. people that are hungry for God, and they want to chase God. And we want to pray for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. We are almost at the end of the series. And each and every we've experienced your faithfulness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the greatest teacher that, Holy Spirit, you've led us, you've guided us throughout this journey, that our path are ordered by you, our steps are ordered by you, Lord. Help us be attentive to your voice, to your prompting, and help us not to get ahead of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all, and please come next week for a special service to honor Israel. God bless.